Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Guess what? We are in the house, but better yet, we have Keith Harmon's here with Crosschurch, and also Jay Nye, who's here with Lou's. And so Strike King, Lou's, it's all one great big group, we can say. But anyway, we're here. We're going to be talking about John Brown Fishing with a Vet event that's coming up. We have Keith, who's the expert at the tournament itself because he runs it. But we have Jay, who we're going to try and get some insight into fishing Beaver Lake. So the people that are fishing Beaver Lake, then you know, they'll be able to maybe catch more fish.
Absolutely.
And you have
no pressure.
When we get to some of the prizes, sometimes it's better not to be in the top 10.
Correct. We do a lot of prizes for people way outside of the top 10.
So tell us about the tournament. When's it going to happen?
Okay. Yesterday I had to do some real thinking about this, but this is actually our 10th year of doing this tournament. So this is number 10. And the first year, we just called it Fishing with a Vet, Buddy Bass Tournament.
Right.
And after that first year, we started really giving it some thought about maybe we could honor not just somebody who served, but someone that we consider a local hero. And so starting with year two, we renamed it to the John W. Brown Fishing with the Military Buddy Bass Tournament. And like I said, this will be year 10. It's never changed from what it was meant to be. We have always wanted to just get veterans out on the water, give them a great day of fishing, but do it with a tournament so that they can win some stuff. And so from the very first year, we've always provided a meal for all the fishermen. If they don't have somebody to fish with, we do our very best, and we've never missed yet. We've done our very best to put anybody who wants to fish it, who was a veteran, who is currently serving with a local tournament fisherman on Beaver, and we've had great, great turnouts. I think we had 40-something boats the first year that we did it. It's hard to remember, so much time's passed, but last year we had just under 100 boats, and so we know that there's at least a vet in every boat, and some of those boats have two vets because the boater is also someone who served. So that's been pretty incredible. We do pay $1,500 to first place. We do pay $1,000 to second place, $700 to third place, $300 to big bass, and then we have always paid $100 to the smallest legal bass turned in, and that's been a really, really fun thing. A lot of people kind of fight for that one.
Right. And Jay won't be working on that. He's on the other end of the spectrum. He's not on that.
We did last year.
Did you try?
Yeah, actually, it was really cool. I got to kind of be a boat captain last year instead of participate as much because we had somebody that had an emergency come up and they had to back out as a boater.
Right.
And that's another thing that Keith does is to make sure that if you travel all the way to this tournament, you get to fish. And we worked it out where I took out two veterans and I just ran the boat. And, you know, I ran the trolling motor from my Garmin remote and took them around to some spots. And it was really fun. You know, we caught a couple small ones and put them in the box. We're like, hey, maybe we'll get small bass out of this too, you know.
Right.
And then it just became kind of a fun little adventure into seeing if, well, is that one smaller than that one?
Right.
But we caught a bunch of fish, had a good time. But, yeah, it, you know, you can't rule out on Beaver Lake having to audible and sometimes chase that $100 versus the $1,500.
Yeah. I think something that's really taken off, too, is – people started seeing what we were doing to honor John W. Brown, who really is a local hero. Graduated from Siloam Springs High School, played sports there, always knew that he wanted to help people. So he knew he was going to do something in the medical field, I think, kind of pursued maybe being an EMT or something like that, maybe nurse. But once he enlisted in the Air Force, he knew right away that he wanted to be a pararescue. And that's what he did, tech sergeant. John W. Brown, who was with some of the guys from SEAL Team 6 when they were shot down on August the 6th, 2011. So he really is a local hero. I've become friends with his mom, Liz Newland, and her husband, John Newland. And when we asked them if we could use his name to kind of honor him and promote the tournament, they were all about it. And they've been fantastic. But a lot of people heard that story and said, well, my son served, or my daughter served, my grandson served, my granddaughter served.
Right.
What if we started giving $200 to people who place like in 17th place?
Right.
And 17 represents something that means something to that family. 33rd place.
Right.
57th place.
Uh-huh.
61st place.
Yeah. So
you could come in 55th place and possibly get $200. And so that's been a lot of fun. I think last year we paid out 14 places at 200. So
yeah.
people, a lot of people leave with money. Every veteran gets a rod and reel every year. That's where Jay and Luz comes in. They've made sure that every year we can give every veteran a rod and reel combo when they show up, because they may not have any fishing equipment. So when they show up, it's rigged and ready to go.
Yep. Oh, good. Good. So numbers of boats that you have in it so far, this is June 6th. So it's still out there, but a lot of guys, they're on the ball.
Oh,
they
like to schedule. We've got 20 boats registered right now.
That's pretty good.
And unfortunately for me, a lot of boats will register the last week, which really is fine. I'm kind of joking, but it is a little unfortunate for me because you've got to process all that. We buy 100 rods and reels, hoping that covers the 100 or less veterans that show up.
Right.
And so always in the back of my mind, I've thought, man, what if 150 show up and we don't have rods and reels? But Jay and I will figure that out.
Always.
We'll get them their rods and reels. They may not get it on that day, but they'll get it.
Yeah, that's no worry at all. We'll take care of them. But,
and so tell us how many fish. It's not a big fish tournament.
Yep, they weigh in their five biggest bass.
Or smallest.
Yeah. Or smallest. That's good. Yes. That's good. Or smallest.
Don't usually add that.
I did get a question that I'll go ahead and cover once with us together today. I got a question this year about, so can we weigh in our five biggest fish or five biggest bass and then go for the smallest legal bass also with like number six?
Uh-huh.
And I said, no, we've never done that. We're not going to start this year.
Right.
And I have culled a 2-pounder for it was less than a half a pound.
Wow.
And I did win smallest bass that year. So it was a good cull for
smallest
me.
Smallest legal bass?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's got to be 12 inches. And for a spot. If it's a largemouth or a smallmouth, it's got to be 15.
Yeah. It'll be way too. Yeah. It's way too much.
So, but that was a strategic move on my part to do that because I knew we had like 8 pounds anyway. And I was like, hey, we need to keep this one. I mean, it barely measured 12 and we ended up with $100. So that was fun for I always fish it with my uncle who served in Vietnam. And that was a blast for both of us. So special moment for he and I.
Yeah. And kind of what you alluded to, it is the standard tournament of 12 inches for the minimum on a spot. I know that the lake doesn't necessarily have a smallest limit for spotted bass, but it is still the 12 inch limit for a spotted bass. So a lot of times that's like a 0.51, 0.58, something like that.
I think mine was a 0.6 that year.
Yeah. And so it's pretty funny when you're coming in, you got like, if you've got 8 or 9 pounds, like he was saying, you know, you're not going to end up in one of these top places because there's a bunch of people in this lake that just catch them.
Right.
So you're like, oh, let's get something, you know, maybe we'll end up in one of those 55 or other positions and maybe we have a chance at $100 small fish. So now you got $300 on the, potentially on there too. So.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if the guy could catch big bass and also come in with the smallest bass.
That would be really cool.
What's that?
New goal.
Yeah. That's your new goal, Jay? Okay, well.
Jay comes with a unique perspective, too, because Jay's been a part of the tournament for several years now.
Uh-huh.
And he started out running the bump tank for our director. So Jay's been the guy over there measuring the fish.
Right.
At the end of the tournament, he's been the guy down there at the water fizzing the fish and helping release them healthy and all that. And then, of course, started sponsoring in a big way to make sure that all the guys got rods and reels has now taken veterans fishing himself.
Right.
So. Yeah, that kind of changed with my career. I started working at Rather Outdoors and was able to be a part of it from that side of things. But I started well before. Actually, I grew up in North Carolina, and my fishing mentor for tournaments was a co-founder of Warriors on the Water.
Uh-huh.
And that was a big military tournament over there, like Fort Bragg and all that is over in that region. And I was part, you know, participating in that all the way from 16, 17 years old.
Wow.
And when I moved out here, I wanted to be part of something similar. And that's when I found their organization. I was like, yeah, I like where this is and it's fun. And anywhere I could volunteer to help, I volunteered. So now it's morphed into what it is today, where I get to help from the Lou side of things as well. Right. So it's really neat. I really enjoy participating in it.
It's been a ball.
And this is kind of a different tournament. Afterwards, you're feeding the people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of tournaments, as we know, people weigh in if they don't, you know, they know that they're in 21st place and they're gone. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, all you got left is you got Jay, and he's got his kin and his family, which, you know, that's growing, I guess, and so growing taller every day. You got him and you got a few people hanging around, but you have a crowd, like, because I've been there a couple of years. Yes. And last year we should have done worse. Instead of finishing 11th, I think we finished just the first one out of the money. Yeah. I was like, God, I knew that, I would have tossed the fish,
absolutely,
two fish or three fish back and just went for that. But a lot of people hang around.
Yeah, that's
it. So who's coming up with, is there some donations that you're getting for the food part of that?
Well, yes and no. So over the years, we have used different local restaurants and things to do that. But the last couple of years, just the great thing about being 10 years in now is you get a lot of feedback from, hey, what if we did this? What if we did that? So the last couple of years, we've just had a lady in the church that has a commercial kitchen, and she just makes all the lunches. She pre-wraps them and packages them.
Uh-huh.
So when you get there and check in that morning, you can get your rod and reel, you can get your sandwich, your chips, your drink for the day, and just have that whenever you want. And then we usually have some kind of cookies or desserts or something at the weigh-in. But you are right. People do hang out. We had two Gold Star families that came last year and was there, not just to support, but to see what was going on and to be a part of all of that. When you're giving out draw prizes for all the veterans, when you're doing food, when you're giving out great prizes and you're paying out so many spots, people do hang out. But I think too, because it's just, our goal is to get veterans on the water, give them a great experience, give them a great day on the water and off the water. I think that inviting family and friends to something like that is easy for them. Say, hey, come watch us weigh in, come take pictures, come, you know, watch what they do. And it's been fantastic. I mean, it's been one of the highlights of the whole day, is just people hanging out and fellowshipping together and having a good time.
So, Jay, we brought you in because you're the stick. So let's just say June 6th, you were out there randomly fishing somewhere on the lake.
Yeah.
What do you think people are going to be doing in June 6th? It's a post-spawn by then, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's one of those things, you know, this lake fluctuates so much. If the water's up, June 6th doesn't mean a whole lot of anything. You'll be catching shallow anyway. But right now, with the water level like it is, down below even normal pool, they're going to be doing the normal post-spawn stuff, sitting in brush piles, under docks, that type of stuff. Right. And, you know, it could be, their fish are healthier by then after the post-spawn. They're not that really thin post-spawn like you get in the May time frame. So, you know, it could end up being a pretty big weight.
What do you think about the smallmouth population? Is that going to play a part?
It could. They spawn earlier, so they heal earlier. Right now, I mean, I'm already catching post-spawn smallmouth. So they're going to be in the healthier side of things. But usually you have to end up with all largemouth on one of these, or at least one or two big smallmouth. It's usually what it takes. If I'm out there and I'm catching, you know, the 2.5, 2.75 pound smallmouth, I'm probably going to move if I'm trying to win this. It's probably going to be a 15, 17, 18.
Is that what you're guessing?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a pretty good weight. Yeah. June 6th.
Yeah. Last year it was 13. The year before it was just under 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's good. Well, but then look at our numbers
so much
this
better.
Year.
It's gotten so much better.
Like if you look at tournament weights,
sick.
If you look at the weights this year, it's crazy compared. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I've weighed, the smallest bag I've weighed was 13 pounds, and I got a pat on the back and sent home. you know?
Right.
And I weighed 15 pounds in the last Beaver Lake Elite Series singles.
Right.
And I didn't even end up in the top 10.
Right.
So that's not what you're used to seeing mm-hmm. out here. The lake is healthy. It's doing really well. The
lake's healthy. I think a lot of it has to do with the water's not in the trees. Yep. And so now people are able to actually either live scope them, or they're able to like fish where you couldn't fish before. Yep. You couldn't throw a buzz bait next to the bank when overhanging the yep. bank was the trees were there. And so this year yep. is quite different where everything is exposed yep. and it's not, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, the Game and Fish, the biologist said that we need a year or two where we don't have high water.
Yep.
And so that's,
we've had repetitive good spawns because yes. they've been able to get away.
Uh-huh.
To elude anglers, right? To have uh-huh. good, healthy spawns. So now we get to see what that looks like because they're sitting on the isolated stuff, like you're saying. Uh-huh. So now you can go down a bank and say, hey, there's a lay down. I'm going to catch one off of it. And he's there. Yes. Whereas, he's, yeah, when the water's up, you go, hey, there's a lay down. And you go cast at it, but there's also 150 yards of bushes leading to it. So right. it's like, doesn't make a whole lot of difference. So, but it's really isolating those fish, putting them in more schools too, like you're seeing.
Right.
I pulled up on one spot and caught all the weight that I caught this past Elite Series was really in one region. And I caught them just dragging out in the deeper water, all post-spawn fish.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot more of that if the water stays like this.
Yeah, I don't anticipate it coming up too much, but it only takes 1 8-inch rain and 15 minutes, and the lake will be back to... Yeah.
This is Arkansas. Up on,
yes.
This is back Arkansas. On top.
So talk about registration if they want to come, and yeah. if they want to register online, or how's that
yes. done? So you can register at Southtown Sporting Goods in Springdale. Okay. You can register at Hook, Line, and Sinker in Bella Vista yeah. and in Rogers.
All right.
A lot of people have went to the online, and you can register online at crosschurch.com/fish.
Okay.
crosschurch.com/fish. And all that's on the poster. I know we'll take a shot of the poster for everybody here at the end, but that's probably the way that we've gone the last 3 years. Almost everybody does it online now.
Uh-huh.
But you can register at the bait shops.
And when are they picking them up? What's the last day for that at those stores?
So the last day that you can sign register up at there. The stores mm-hmm. or register physically. Online is June the 4th.
Okay.
Right. Friday the 5th is a kind of a dead day. That's the day that the team that helps me put this thing on, we spend that whole day getting ready for okay. Saturday the 6th. And so they can register anytime between now and midnight on the 4th.
All right.
I guess midnight on the 5th. And then... All right. Friday the 5th, can't register, and then fish on Saturday the 6th. We take off at 2:45 in the morning. No, not 2:45.
2:45.
That would be a night early. Tournament. That'd be a night tournament. We take off at 5:45 in the morning, and we weigh in at 2.
You okay. get there at 2:45 is what you're That's thinking.
A, I yeah, get really. There at 2:45. I think I got there at 2 we, last year. Yeah.
We do some media work, and we get up pretty doggone very, early. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't even go to sleep, right? You just stay up.
Sometimes.
I tried to get there at like 3:30 or something the last mm-hmm. tournament to help, and you guys are already like three quarters wow. of the way done. Yeah. I was like, jiminy Christmas.
Yeah, we get there early. And what's every year, there's veterans there when mm-hmm. we get there, even at 2 and 2:30 in the morning. They're there. And again, I forgot to say this earlier, but I mean, we have people that travel from Florida mm-hmm. for this tournament, right? from wow. Texas, Missouri, Oklahoma, cool. Kansas. People travel in to be a part of this. They want to do it. We've got a lot of sponsors who would never want their name mentioned, but they right. give 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 to make sure that we can do this every year and not have to stop doing kind of the really unique things we do, like all those random payouts, uh-huh. the rods, the reels, yeah. the food. A lot of guys that sign up, boaters that sign up, they go ahead and sign up and pay the whole entry fee because they don't want the veteran to even right. pay half of that $80 yeah. entry fee.
Right.
They want to take care of them that way. So we have really, really great sponsors. We're always looking for new sponsors. So if somebody wants to sponsor, they can talk to me or you or Jay or
yeah.
any of the guys at the bait shops, and they'll get them in contact with me and how to do that. And we've really been blessed by the support that we've got from this community. Northwest Arkansas is a great place to live. It's a great place to fish. and the community really rallies around things like veterans.
Yeah.
This is a thankful community.
Yep. So that takes Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Of course, Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. So anytime you're going out there and going fishing, make sure you go to their website at picolures.com. Also, B&M Pole, which they have a whole line of rods for everything from catfishing to crappie fishing is what they're famous for. And of course, crappie fishing been real good on Beaver Lake too. So everything's been really good fishing with the water level that we're dealing with, but you can check their stuff out at bnmpole.com. One more time, if they want to get and be part of the tournament, tell them where to go.
Yep, Hook, Line, and Sinker, or Southtown, or crosschurch.com/fish.
Okay, there you go. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.